and grandchildren keep you young. One thing that children do, they may make you old, they'll keep you on your toes. And if you want to be kept on your toes, or if you're a bit slumbering in your faith, then just engage with the children. That will do that for you. Dong didn't mention, but he's put a lot of effort, and as have others, into just preparing some training for those who are willing to just at least explore what it's like to be in that chair over there. And you don't have to be male. It tends to be the pattern, but it's not the case that you have to be male to be a sound technician. So even if you're... I'm not technical. Some of you know that about me. somebody in church used to refer to me as an analog man in a digital age. I'm not particularly technical. But I'm going to be at that training because technology is part of our world and part of our lives. You might not think you have rhythm or tone in your voice, but don't let that stop you speaking with Meg or with Meryl. And when Nadine and I did Bible school, 2008 and 9, Simon Dean also came from Manchester every Monday for 2 years to do Bible school. And his employers were reasonably flexible to allow him to do that, but it was still quite a significant commitment. So it's worth it. If you ask him today, when he's next in London, ask him, was it worth the effort? Bible school is always... always worth the effort. And one thing that Fred has said on another video, Fred, who we saw and heard earlier, he's our senior pastor, small groups are all about the kingdom, and the kingdom, some of you will be able to finish the quote, is all about growth. The God's kingdom is all about growth. And the theme for this year is God's building, and the blocks with which God will build are small groups. Those are the blocks for building congregations. We don't have a congregation without small groups. We can have Sunday services and we can have other activities, but if we're not living out our faith, if we're not applying what we learn, if we're not practicing what we preach, then we're not being church. And church is something that we are much more than it is something that we do. And Kids Club, I remember when we joined Shofar in 2007, every week there'd be an announcement. And I think Trevor and Angela used to go faithfully every week. I may get you up in a few minutes just to activate your body so you don't slumber. But I want to just show you something out of the window. But I want to ask a question. And the question is this: what links all these presentations? How are they related? We had 5-6 people giving 5 presentations, but what links them all? Because we could have had other presentations, but what links all of these? And you may have seen on your way in the vision of Shofar Christian Church. It's just as you enter the front door. Hopefully you'll see it, whether you come up the stairs or whether you go in the lift, you should see the vision there. And the vision of Shofar Christian Church is to reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. But it's not that the end justifies the means. That's what we're trying to do. That's where we're headed, to reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. But it's not at all costs. And these values that you see here every Sunday, hopefully you see them: passion for Jesus, people to serve, power of belief, and purpose to pursue. Those values must be upheld as we pursue that vision. In other words, everything we do must serve the vision. Fred talked about lots of initiatives that people have, and sometimes we brainstorm and there's a few things in there and we need to get the nuggets out and sift. If you want to sift yourself before you talk about it in a more with others, then just ask yourself that question. If we do this, whatever it is that's on my heart or in my mind, would it serve the vision? And then if the answer to that question is yes, then we say, in what ways will we uphold these values? And just to share how I remember the vision, we're reaching nations and generations, and we do it three ways. So first of all, we make disciples. And part of being made into a disciple is to make disciples. I'm not a disciple in the fullest, truest sense unless I'm making disciples. But as we are made into disciples and as we make others into disciples, we develop them into leaders. And we are developed as leaders. The one thing that being a parent does in the natural is you have to develop in certain ways. You may not be able to cook a meal for yourself, but if you're looking after a child, then you have to feed the child. And the same is true in discipleship. It kind of keeps you on your toes in that way. And once we've developed those leaders, then we're able to plant churches. So that's how I remember the order. We make disciples, develop leaders, and then we plant churches. And I don't know how you remember the values. I do it in three steps. The first is they all begin with P. That's the easy one. But the second is this. It takes the vowels of the alphabet in sequence. A, E, leaves out I. So don't focus on me right now. A, E, no I, O, and U. And I just always think of that. There's no place for individualism within God's kingdom. God's mission is not about me. And the different people who've presented here will be able to testify to that. It's not about the person here. Fred said that on the video. It's not that one person comes to impart to everybody else. There isn't a place for individualism in God's kingdom. Some of the activities you might think serve or... Well, not serve. They serve the vision and maybe uphold one of the values more than others. That's okay. So Bible school, we need to know what we believe so that we can believe it and so its power can be expressed in our lives and in the lives of others. That's okay, as long as nothing we do compromises any one of them. So that's the question to ask. Would doing this, or in the way that I do this, in the way that I go to small group, in the way that I relate to my small group leader, am I in any way compromising one of these? So we always serve the vision. That's how we determine what we do. And these values help us in just checking ourselves, how do we do them? We always maintain our passion for Jesus. And the other, not the way I remember it, but the passion for Jesus comes before the people to serve. We're not a self-help group. We're not do-gooders. We're not going onto the estate because of a secular humanist agenda to uplift lives. We're going onto the estate because of our passion for Jesus. That's why it's the first of our values. Him first, and then people next. Fred says, you know, the two arms of the cross, repentance and forgiveness, and they help us in any human relationships. But the vertical representing our relationship with God, who's divine, and then the horizontal representing our relationship with people. We live in a city where the nations are right here on our doorsteps. You'd be hard-pressed to find a nation of the world that's not represented in London. I'd be surprised if when we go into the High Path Estate. And you don't have to live on that estate to come to Kids Club, but that's where we're going to focus. I'd be surprised if there's no one there from Malawi. We'll see how many nations are represented when we come. The children our school go to, just down the road in Tooting, there's over 30 languages spoken in the homes in that school as a primary language. Our niece and nephew go to a school where there's not many more than 30 children. But there's 30 languages, more than, where a language other than English is spoken as a primary language. And that's how we're going to reach nations. Because these children have links. They have parents and grandparents and siblings and cousins and aunts and uncles, grandparents who live in those nations. What's the job of a leader? to lead. One of our small groups, the leaders have a tagline, and I like it. Leaders don't create followers. Leaders create more leaders. But who we follow is important. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, follow me, imitate me, as I follow Christ, as I imitate Christ. In other words, he's saying this, if there's something in me that isn't following after Christ, if there's something in me that's not of Christ, don't follow that. So I want to say that to myself, to you about me. But as I, as we, Sally and I, under the leadership, and there's going to be changes, and Carlos is going to be coming here shortly, so you'll have an opportunity to meet him if you've not yet met him. You can follow godly leaders because God has appointed them. And let me just check you awake, ask you to stand. And then come and join me over this side. And just I want you to just see the estate. There's a new block of flats, which is much closer and a bit plusher and much more modern. So you have to get maybe quite close to the wall. But there's no one living in those flats because they're still being built. You probably have to go closer to the wall. Shuffle up a bit more, shuffle up. And then Don's going to take a photo. So you go a bit closer. We want you all in the photo. We're not going to this new posh block of flats because nobody lives there yet. When people move in there, then we'll ask God, how does he want us to reach there? But if you just keep looking left, you'll see the less plush block of flats. That's the High Path Estate. And that's where we believe. Just building on what God has been doing in the past, that's where we believe he's calling us to go this year. And last year we did prayer walks there, and some of you were part of that. And we'll be doing much more of that before we actually go in. Before you sit down, please take one of these cards. But don't write on it yet. This verse will be familiar. Psalm 147, I say verses 2 and 3. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Another thing I learned from Fred, our senior pastor, just the question, how do we read scripture? In terms of our application of that scripture. It's simple, something that if we've had a primary school education, we'll all be able to do. Look for the verbs. If we're talking about application, then just look for the verbs. So what are they in that verse? Build, gather, heal, and bind. Build, gather, heal, and bind. But this verse, who's acting? Who's healing? Who's gathering? Who's healing? Who's binding? God is doing it. God is doing those verbs. God is doing. He has always, and he is now, and he will always heal. He has always, he is now, and he will always build. He has always, he is now, and he will always gather. He has always, he is now, and he will always bind. And all that we have to do is get in that slipstream. We don't have to initiate. Sally said this earlier. God looks across the earth He's ready. He's looking for hearts committed after him so then he can envision those hearts and group those people together. We're from different nations, we're from different parts of the UK, but we're grouped together. Even if it's your first time here today, we're grouped together today. God's got a purpose in that. He knows where to place the blocks or the stones. He knows which player has the skills for which particular team. You might not think he knows. If he's chosen me, does he really know me? He does. With the gifts he's given us and the strengths, even with the gifts that are our weaknesses, God knows. He knows where to place us. The theme for the year is God's building. What does an apostrophe do? It does one of two things. It indicates ownership. And the second thing is the abbreviation. God's building, he owns the building. Not mine. Not Hercules's. Not Fred's. Not Carlos. It's God's building. But the other purpose of an apostrophe is abbreviation. God is building. He's doing it. God is building. We don't need to somehow conjure up or drum up how we're going to fulfill the vision. God is doing it. Jesus said, I will build my church. And he chooses to build through us. His choice. May not be our choice. We might have better ideas, different ideas. He's chosen to build his church through people. We're going to fast for the next 3 days. Not right now. We're going to have some food and then... there's no compulsion. There's no compulsion. And some of us fast as individuals or as families or as leaders at other times. But you're invited to join. And fasting for 3 days is much easier when you do that together than when you do it on your own. And we had a vicar when we were first married who taught us fasting is not about what you give up. It's more about what you take up. What do we do with the time and the effort and the energy that we would have spent on planning a meal and shopping for a meal and preparing a meal and eating a meal? Even that takes energy. Feel tired after the meal, don't we? Washing up from the meal, clearing up from the meal. With that time and with that energy, what's important is what we do. So don't think giving up. But the fast that we're advocating and inviting you to join is a fast from food for a water fast. That's what, if you want to know in general, if you've got medical questions, there's lots of doctors here. I'm one of them, but not with the most up-to-date knowledge. If you've got questions or you've not fasted for 3 days before, then please ask your small group leader or myself or Sally. It's easier than it sounds. Some of us find fasts easier, some of us find them quite hard. But one thing to say is, we're going to have another one in July, and I think it's the same date, the 18th to 20th of July, for the benefits of a leap year. And once you've done this one, that one should be easier, because it's in the summer. It's warmer, the days are longer. Spare a prayer for Hercules. Two winter fasts in 2016. He's given up 40 degree heat and the lack of a need to conserve your body heat. And he's joining us for our fast here, and then he'll go, and unless he comes again in July, he'll be doing a winter fast in the Southern Hemisphere later on. But don't be daunted by the fast. We're doing it together. If you're finding it hard, use the WhatsApp group for your small group or whoever it may be. Just please pray with me. Can we meet? I'm struggling with this. But remember, it's not about what we give up. It's about what we take up. And in terms of what God is doing, it's what we take in. What we take in. That's why I said, don't write on the cards yet. We could think, yeah, that presentation, that's the one I'm going to go for. That's what I'm going to do. But take a step back. Take in what God says as we fast. So fasting is about denying our bodies so that we can just make sure that our spirits come ahead of them, just to increase that possibility, so that we can hear what God's Spirit will say to us. And as you fast, then be thinking, God, what is it? That's what I thought on Sunday. Are you going to confirm that word? Is there something that I missed on Sunday that you want to encourage me to take part in this year? And then we'll just take stock halfway through the year. How are we? How are we doing? Where did we get to? We're going to have a time of worship, and we'll have communion. And we'll also have communion at the end of the fast on Wednesday. So just, it was announced in the announcements, Monday at 8 o'clock, we'll meet at 99. Tuesday, meet in your families or in your small groups. And then Wednesday, we'll meet again at 99 at 7:30. And we'll pray. We'll consecrate ourselves together, filling in these cards. God, this is what I believe I've heard you say. And I know that when you call, you always provide. And then we'll break fast together. So we're going to have a time of worship. There'll be opportunity to share, and then we'll have communion together. God will continue to speak. Let's listen to his voice. Please stand.